And thank you so much, Katie and Amy, for reading today, and Bell Choir. That was great. I'm realizing after seeing some of you like really having a lot of rings, that maybe I'll go to the gym and do some curls before I sub again next time, because keep it going a lot. Yeah, that was pretty serious business. I'm impressed. So we are coming down as we count down towards Go Sunday and the car show and all the fun stuff launching for the fall. To the end, we're coming to the end of our Finding Faith Off the Beaten Path summer sermon series. And I know for many of us that this week is one of the weeks that most marks the transition from summer to fall, because we are now a week away from the first Ohio State football game. And football games in the fall, right, are a really big deal. And obviously, if we have a really big one with Notre Dame, that some of us might really have that marked on our calendars. And since we're on the theme of finding faith off the beaten path, we can see how sports can be one of those things that are really good metaphors for us understanding life and faith. Paul mentions racing here in the scripture that we just heard, in some other places in his letters to various churches. And I think that if he was living today, he would probably find a number of different things connected to sports that he might use as metaphors that much more. So, for instance, the metaphor of how the Christian community comes together, sort of like a body, and each person has a different role in different circumstances. We have to celebrate all of those. We can get the same lessons from sports like football and basketball and baseball, where you've got linemen that have different roles than receivers and quarterbacks and running backs and defenders. In football, you've got baseball, where you've got infielders, outfielders, pitchers, catchers. Everybody needs to be a little bit different. You wouldn't be a team if you didn't have that all together. Same with different positions in basketball. I personally am more of a soccer person. As you know, I've mentioned it before. I was watching the Crew Cincinnati game last night. They pulled out at least a tie at the very end, which is a very exciting game. And the verses today that talk about how you become all things for all people matches well with sports like soccer, and then also maybe a sport like hockey, because in those sports, everyone is kind of playing both ways. That in different game situations, you're going to have to sometimes run back and play defense, sometimes run up and support the offense, pass, maybe even change positions with people sometimes to confuse the other team. So it's very fluid from game to game, and knowing how to have a blend of things and how God helps us do that for how we meet each circumstance can be another way that we would learn about our faith. And I'm sure other people might have other things that come to mind for them, other sports or other games or activities that are meaningful to you that Paul might have used and we could learn from. For instance, something like golf, or I know a lot of people here play cards, might connect to the metaphor that Paul used with the armor of God, where there are a club or a card that represents a key quality for the right situation, right? I know we've got like some euchre fans, and you can't play the wrong card at the wrong time because you'll lose a point or you'll mess things up for your teammate. You got to know that the right thing that God gives you comes in the right moment and you can make it all work. The same as you might do like a driver for some things. You don't want to putt with that or with an iron. So depending on all of your different activities, there are lots of things that we can get metaphors for from our faith that God can use to help us grow in that. Just out of curiosity, if there's anything else, maybe other people have favorite sports, activities, or hobbies that you feel like God has given you a metaphor or a lesson from. Does anyone have something like that? Yeah, Jeannie.
You'd expect it yoga.
From yoga, yeah.
You've been talking today about building up strength. In my yoga practice, I now have upper body strength that I never had earlier in my life.
Yeah, Jeannie's got a great example. When she teaches yoga, and I know there are other people here participating in it, it's a great way to build strength over time that you wouldn't have had otherwise. It's a great example, and God stays with us and wants us to continue to stretch ourselves. We'll talk about that more the rest of today, too. Yeah, did you have one too, Jenny?
No, I was showing.
You're just like, yeah, I got one too. Right. Should have done some posing with the kids earlier, right? Exactly. Yeah, Dorothy, you have one? Oh, nice. Yeah, what is there something in how you make jewelry that you feel like God has taught you?
He gave me that, so I learned
patience. It's true. There's a lot of skills that they help us learn patience, and we'll talk about that too, how God shows us like it's not going to come right away. You got to keep at it, plug away. Maybe your first few are not the ones that look the best, but you will get there, and they are still precious for that journey, getting there to the ones that you're most proud of. I had an interaction with Lori, actually, after the service a few weeks ago, that gave me yet another perspective about how sports and other activities can teach us about our faith life that I thought was especially reflected in our scriptures today, and I wanted to continue to unpack with you. Lori was helping move the piano and some other things as we were tearing down at the end of service, and she pulled me aside and said, "Oh man, I hope I'm not having everybody do too much. There's a lot of guys here that, you know, it's hot, we're moving all sorts of stuff. It's probably really hard. I don't want to make them feel all sore and just, like, not happy to be serving." And as it so happened, that was within the first couple weeks after I had started playing soccer on a team at a place here locally again. And I don't know if any of you noticed, but there was a few weeks where, because it happens on Friday night, and I know it's still, like, more than 24 hours after that, but, like, I was limping around a lot at first as my body was getting used to playing soccer again for the first time in a long time. And so when she mentioned, like, being sore and achy and everything, I was like, you know, maybe so, but I'm sort of realizing right now, like, I do feel really sore. I'm barely even getting around, but I'm just excited to be back out there again and feel like I'm doing something that's meaningful to me, that connects me with other people. And I have no doubt that all of those folks that are helping right now, even if they feel sore, they're probably doing it because they know that it means that same thing for them. And there's that good ache that comes when we do something that stretches us, that challenges us, but that we know is growing us and serving us and that is helping us do things with other people, even if it brings that challenge and cost. And so we know when we stretch ourselves, when we challenge, when we do something hard, but we know that it's worth it. When we work out, right? Like we said, it actually even creates little tears in your muscles that hurt so that then they can grow and become stronger and that much better. And the same thing can happen with our brains when we're creating new synapses and we're learning a new skill. Maybe at the end of that we feel tired, maybe even we get a little headache or something like that. But it's still something that can be serving us, that can bring us new skills and gifts, and that's really important to do, even if we go through the ache on the way. Now, it is true that sometimes we have those aches that are not good. They just feel like a pain. And that happens typically, like, if we don't like what we're doing, if it seems pointless, or especially if the stretch, if the pain, if the challenge is really significant, but the fruit comes very slowly. That's harder to see, like, what is actually happening? God, what's coming from this? Both of our scriptures today give examples of the feelings that we can have when it's not clear that what we're going through is going to give us an ache that's going to work out. But ultimately, they do help us see how God's faithfulness, even in those times of challenge, helps us know how is God bringing us to the end. Even when we're going through hard seasons, we don't want to keep pushing through. What is the meaning that God gives us that we can find hope in? I think the two main questions when we are in the middle of a challenge, we're not sure if it's a good ache or not, and how are we going to persevere through? How are we going to find God's presence with us? The first one is, I can't possibly be ready, right, God? Like, this isn't for me. I'm not the right person. This is beyond what I'm supposed to be doing. We feel kind of defeated and not confident in ourselves. And this is a lot like Jeremiah when he was talking about, God, I'm too young. I'm just a child. There's no way that you can be looking for me. I have to stay away from this. And we have to see that Jeremiah is really representative of all sorts of people throughout the Bible who, when they feel a calling from God to do something that God wants them to do that's going to help the community around them, they feel overwhelmed, like, it can't be me. Same thing happened to Isaiah. Jonah runs away. David wasn't sure right at first that he was the right one, because he was the youngest. All of these people all going through. Solomon wasn't sure if he was wise enough. Moses didn't want to speak. Leah, Rachel, Sarah, Ruth, Peter, all of them had things about them that they thought, I wasn't good enough. I can't be the one that you want. And even Jesus, you could say, to a degree, going out and being tempted and saying, I need to go through this process of good ache with God to get all the way to where God is going to be using me. So we know that we're in good company, even if we have those feelings of being overwhelmed. We can rely on those stories of how God's faithfulness walks with each of those types of people. It can walk with us too. A second question that we can face a lot is, we wonder, is there any point in actually putting myself through this challenge? Is there going to be an outcome from this that makes it worth it, especially if it feels far off in the distance? Should I even bother to do this? And I think that's probably why Paul emphasizes training with discipline, like a runner who's going after a prize. And maybe, I know Grace is getting ready for track, you want to do more short-distance stuff or long-distance stuff?
Short distance,
right? Because if you're a sprinter and you're like, all right, 100 meters, go fast, it's going to be hard, but I can see where that finish line is. It's hard, but it's good. But man, if you like run a marathon, and you're like, I know that eventually the finish line is there, but it's going to be a while. It can be different feelings depending on the circumstance that we're facing. But God wants us to know that we are a part of a beautiful, life-giving kingdom that God is busy making all of the time. And some of the goals take a really long time. Some of them are small victories God can give us along the way. And especially in the face of other measures of success that we know that the world holds up around us all the time and all the ways that they define power, it can often feel like the things that God calls us to do seem to be failing because by other expectations and measurements, they're not getting the same results. But we have to remember that with God, yes, it may be that God's ways fail at what ultimately brings us harm, at what ultimately brings us death, at what ultimately brings us selfishness and separation, at what ultimately brings us division with other people, even if we feel like that's going to be good for me and nobody else. But God will ultimately succeed at bringing transformation for true and full love and life and justice. I remember when Aisling was growing up, and she was like a toddler, 3 or 4. She still does love art. It started then, and she would sit even for hours sometimes at a desk, like drawing things, painting things, trying things out. And a lot of times that would bring her a lot of joy. But there were times where she would get a picture in her head of how she wanted it to be. She'd get this vision, and it was more than her hands and her dexterity could do quite yet. And she'd have the vision, she'd try so hard, and it would just be miserable, though, when she'd realize, like, I know it can be better than what I'm able to do right now. I don't understand why I can't. It's not because she wasn't good. It's because she was 4, and she was thinking she wanted to do something that, like, she'd seen on the internet from a professional. You're like, you'll get there, but you shouldn't feel bad that you're not there yet. But she would sometimes get to a full meltdown, throwing things, tearing things, like, just, oh, so frustrated, so painful for her. And for Wendy and I, we both had our own struggles as well in reacting to that. It would make Wendy very stressed and anxious, completely overwhelmed, and not sure how to engage with Aislinn at all. I would feel very much sort of self-conscious about, like, I want to be the type of person who can figure this out. I've worked with kids before. Like, I should be able to come in and say some words or redirect and whatever, and then, that'll all solve the problem, but it doesn't. And so it wasn't anybody's fault, but we were all learning and growing, new parents, new kid, trying all these things. And it was often a struggle. And I remember one time this happened at my parents' house. And this was when we were still living in California, so we didn't see them as much. And I felt really self-conscious when she had one of those tantrums in front of them. Because it's sort of this thing like, I want to show my parents that I'm a good parent. I don't want them to feel like they're swooping in or like we're not doing something right. And so, Wendy was feeling overwhelmed because she knew my parents pretty well at that point, but we'd always lived far away, so it still was a little bit of that distance. And so we were all kind of like frozen and feeling like we're supposed to be at the end already. But you can't be. And my parents, thankfully, were really gracious and wonderful, and they basically just said, kids go through a hard time growing up. You're learning how to deal with it. Like, let's figure it out. What do you know to try, Rob? Like, give it some tries, but be patient. Wendy, your anxiousness, even right now, can be something to go and sit with her and empathize. Like, that can actually be a gift. It doesn't just have to be something that freezes you. You can say, I know what it's like to feel like things are so hard, you don't know what to do with them. I don't have the right words, but I can be the right person here with you with the right spirit because I can experience the same thing that you experience. And that helped us learn how to accept. Maybe some people would see that and say, that kid's out of control, those parents are incompetent, what's going on with it? But we can learn and say, we're learning, we're growing, we're stretching, God is with us, we have support. We will find our ways to support each other the way that we need, because eventually we will get through and find those ways to be patient, find those ways to be supportive. And we have to go through the struggle and the ache along the way. And we still have those moments, too, in our own way sometimes, as I'm sure we all do. But Aislinn has also continued to grow as an artist, to continue to grow as a person who's able to be patient with herself and proud of herself and know that she's going to keep improving and that what she is now is good. And she's also on her way to getting better. And those are really good things to be able to be excited about. Our Bible verses today show how God will call us out, but also support us and give us those good aches so that we can develop ourselves, develop our communities, and even the whole world in similar healthy ways. Knowing that, yeah, like a kid growing up who's able to accept, it's good now, we're going to keep getting better because God is faithful to take us all the way there. We don't have to feel ashamed as we're growing and having those good aches. It will involve challenge and difficulty, and when we accept that, it's less overwhelming when it comes. Jeremiah shows how God stays with us, and that God loves to make what can seem like a weakness actually be a strength. But it will involve God asking us to stretch ourselves. It will involve us learning things that we didn't expect, interacting with people that we're not instantly comfortable with, living by values that don't always put us at the most advantage, and even sometimes it'll be encouraging us to help other people make those same choices for the good of everyone. When we open up ourselves to God stretching us, we see the prize of salvation life that Paul is so excited about in his letter to the Corinthians. It's that connection that we have with others that brings all of us thriving, even and especially those that we would have assumed can be of no connection to us, can even be our enemies. All of those people were the ones that Paul was willing to let God expand who Paul was so that he could connect with them with understanding, with empathy, and with solidarity. And ultimately, then that's how reconciliation can happen, even if it's hard along the way. And sometimes we have to know that that will call for transformation. And sometimes it will call for encouragement. Jeremiah was called to be a person who said, hey, folks, things are not going the way that God wants. It's going to be hard, but we got to change. We have to accept it. We have to let go of things that we thought were good for us. And that's what God wants us to do. That's the good ache. That can be a hard message, but it's the right one sometimes. Paul was talking more about an encourager. You're on the way. I know that there's still a destination in mind. You want to keep learning and growing, but you're doing good on the way there. And we need to have both of those as part of what we do in our faith life, because that's what God is doing for us all the time as well. And God will use how we do that together to bring us together as God's salvation people. Now, I know for many of us, it may feel a little bit like, as we're talking, does God still really have a role for me to play? Even as we say this, even as we encourage each other, we still have those doubts and questions creep in. Can we say, does God have something for me, even in my circumstance, even in my life stage? Some of us might be saying, I'm not having to worry too much like Jeremiah saying, but God, I'm only a child. I'm thinking more about how I fit in a later stage of my life. And so again, sports came to me as I was thinking about that, because there are, in sports, people who have been, you know, maybe all-stars for a long part of their career, and then at the end, they find a new dimension of how they work out in their sports, the crafty veteran. They learn how to do things in completely new circumstance. Some of you who may be basketball fans may remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the Lakers in the 80s. He learned this skyhook thing, right? So he's, like, tall, and he goes like that, and no matter how big and athletic somebody guarding him is, they can't block the shot. So he wasn't as athletic anymore. He couldn't move around. He couldn't jump as high. But he found that way. As who I am now, I'll still learn a new thing, and I can still make an incredible impact. Us here in Columbus probably remember Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters at 46. I'm not a big golf fan, but from what I understand, like, he was especially showing this knowledge of the course and the ability to, maybe he can't make all the shots he used to, but he knows how to make the right shot every time, and so he doesn't make as many mistakes. I remember, if you're a football fan, John Elway finally won a Super Bowl at the very end of his career by actually doing less and empowering his teammates more. As Buckeye fans, we remember when Braxton Miller became a wide receiver to help the team instead of having to be the quarterback anymore and having all sorts of amazing runs that way. As a soccer fan, there are players that I know who went from speedy wingers that could run by everybody to people who knew how to, like, just take two steps in the box to get open from a defender and shoot the ball in all of a sudden. Didn't have to move around a lot, but still had that goal-scoring instinct. As a person now, there's also the stereotype, if you play pickup soccer anywhere, there will always be, like, one or two old guys who will like not hardly ever move around at all, but they'll kind of stand in the middle of the field, and they'll just maybe like, you know, a few steps at a time, just say, give me the ball. And then they'll do some little trick, and so somebody who tries to steal it can't get it, and then they'll pass it to somebody who's fast, and they'll run and go get it, and they're like, yeah, I'm still basically having the game go completely through me, and I barely had to move at all. But it's because they know the game so well. It's because they've figured out those little tricks. They know how to be the crafty veteran. And so in light of all of that, I encourage all of us to open ourselves up and listen to God about a gift that God might have for any of us to be trying to open us up to. But maybe we've even resisted a little bit in the past because it involved, we could tell, stretching us, challenging us, doing something that felt a little overwhelming. I feel like, very confidently, that we have potential together as a community to be like workout partners, to be a yoga class, to be teammates and encourage each other to go through even good aches that God might be giving us, because we know that we'll be experiencing more than we have and becoming more than we are. I feel like we do have tastes of this already, and I'm really proud and excited about it, and I know that God has many more for us. I'm expecting that we'll hear some exciting new ideas, and I also think that some of you will have some really crafty tricks that we'll be able to learn from our wily veterans, and I'm really excited to do both of those things and experience that good ache together as God's people with you. We'll be in that spirit as we offer ourselves, even to be stretched, even to be challenged, even to have some good aches, in our time of offering.